He takes out a cigarette from the pocket of his T-shirt, sticks it in his mouth, and lights up with the dashboard lighter. That's another thing that words can't explain. One of those things that's neither a yes or no answer. He narrows his eyes and blows smoke out of the window. "In Hawaii," he goes on, "there's a spot they call the toilet bowl. There are these huge whirlpools because it's where the incoming and outgoing tides meet and crash into each other. It goes around and around like when you flush a toilet. If you wipe out there, you get pulled underwater and it's hard to float up again. Depending on the waves, you might never make it back to the surface. So there you are, underwater, pounded by waves, and there's nothing you can do. Flailing around's not going to get you anywhere. You'll just use up your energy. You've never been so scared in your life. But unless you get over that fear, you'll never be a real surfer. You have to face death, really get to know it, then overcome it. When you're down in that whirlpool, you start thinking about all kinds of things. It's like you get to be friends with death, have a heart-to-heart talk with it." At the gate, he gets out of the truck and locks it back up, jiggling the chain a couple of times to make sure it'll hold. After this, we don't talk much. He leaves an FM station on as he drives, but I can tell he's not really listening to it. Having the radio on's just a token gesture. Even when we go into a tunnel and all we hear is static, he doesn't mind. With the air conditioning broken, we leave the windows open when we get on the highway. "If you ever feel like learning how to surf, stop by and see me," Sada says as the inland sea comes into view. "I have an extra room, and you can stay as long as you like." "Thanks," I say. "I'll take you up on that. I don't know when, though." "You're pretty busy." "I have a couple of things I have to take care of." "Same with me," Sada says. We don't say anything for a long time. He's thinking over his problems. I'm thinking over mine. He keeps his eyes on the road, left hand on top of the steering wheel, and smokes the occasional cigarette. Unlike Oshima, he doesn't speed. With his elbow propped on the open window, he drives at a leisurely pace. The only time he passes other cars is when they're going much too slowly. Then he reluctantly accelerates, goes around, then slips back into his lane. "Have you been surfing for a long time?" I ask him. He says. And then there's silence. Finally, when I've almost forgotten the question, he answers. "I've been surfing since high school. Then it was just for fun. Didn't really get serious about it till 6 years ago. I was working at a big ad agency in Tokyo. I couldn't stand it, so I quit. Moved back here and started surfing. I took out a loan, borrowed some money from my parents, and opened a surf shop. I run it alone, so I can pretty much do whatever I want. Did you want to come back to Shikoku?" "That was part of it," he says. "I don't know. I don't feel right unless I've got the sea and mountains nearby. People are, by and large, a product of where they were born and raised. How you think and feel's always linked to the lie of the land, the temperature, the prevailing winds even. Where were you born?"
"Tokyo,
in Niigata, in Nakano Ward." "Do you want to go back there?" I shake my head. "No."
"Why not?"
"There's no reason for me to go back."
"Okay," he says.
"I'm not very connected to the lie of the land, the prevailing winds and all that," I say.
"Yeah?" he says.
We're silent again. Silence doesn't seem to bother him a bit. Or me either. I just sit there, my mind a blank, listening to the music on the radio. He's staring at the road ahead. Eventually, we exit the highway, turn north, and drive into the Takamatsu city limits.